Memoria Press invites all Issues Etc. listeners to explore our Simply Classical curriculum, a set of full-year academic curriculum packages for children with learning challenges. Our classical writing program and our Christian studies are now based on your favorite CPH Bible storybooks. To learn more, visit classicalspecialneeds.com and use promo code LPR to save on your initial purchase. That's classicalspecialneeds.com.
Donald Trump heard a voice out in this country that no one else heard. He connected in ways with people no one else did. He turned politics on its head. We won more seats than anyone expected. And much of that is thanks to Donald Trump. Donald Trump provided the kind of coattails that got a lot of people over the finish line so that we could maintain our strong House and Senate majorities.
That's House Speaker Paul Ryan reacting to yesterday's election results, giving credit where credit is due. It's not something that many people thought you would associate with the name Donald Trump, coattails, but apparently it applies. Welcome back to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. We're kind of going over the election results on this Wednesday afternoon, November the 9th, and joining us to talk about the election results and the U.S. House, Congressman John Shimkus. He's a regular guest, and he serves the 15th Illinois Congressional District. Congressman Shimkus, welcome back to Issues Etc.
It's great to be with you, Todd. It's been a little while, so it's great. Hey,
congratulations on your reelection last night.
Thank you.
What was your reaction when you finally figured out what was going on last night?
Yeah, I think everybody was kind of dumbfounded. You know, people are always going to say they're smarter than they really were. But I just do know in my congressional district, I know in Southern Illinois, I know in rural America, I think there's a lot of pent-up anger and frustration. And it's not really partisan in nature. It's about big government centralized control. And I'd said earlier in this election cycle, it got derailed a little bit because of other issues, that if people went with a simple mindset, insider versus outsider, the choice is pretty clear. You had a bona fide insider, 30 years in government, in and out, and then you had a bona fide outsider. So I think the public went with the bona fide outsider, and as these things started unfolding, I think it was pretty surreal for most people because all the pundits, all the intellectuals, had us all convinced that this thing was going to be over by 10 o'clock. And once it slipped past 10, I think people who watch this stuff closely, their adrenaline started flowing and we knew it was going to be a longer night, which ended up being.
So your explanation for this sounds like in an activist and kind of reform-seeking year, the Democratic Party ran a status quo Washington insider.
Not only that is, I said this at a dinner Monday night, they also were running proudly on a third Obama term. I mean, that they wanted, and I'm not sure, I know a lot of people, even Democrats, who really want a third Obama term. I think you can go through his 8 years, and you have everything that I just kind of mentioned before. You have bigger government, more centralized control. Our enemies don't fear us. Got this assault on the moral fiber of America. I'm not sure that's a good thing to run on. And then if you go back to insider outsider, someone who's going to continue a third term of a presidency versus someone who's going to be totally new. I think that's you hit the nail on the head.
What are your thoughts on the results in the U.S. House?
Well, we're very pleased. I think when we were concerned about 3 weeks ago, we're going to lose only like a net 6. Looks like we currently have the largest majority, Republican majority since 1928. So it puts us in a strong position to move our agenda through the House. We operate by a simple majority. And I think really having the executive branch, Speaker Ryan's already talked to President-elect Trump a couple times, one last night, one today. We're trying to coordinate schedules and agenda items, and hopefully he'll let us move the policy and he'll sign the bills, and those numbers help strengthen it. There's just some districts that are just tough. More moderate areas up in those, we lost a Republican good friend of mine, Bob Dold, up in the north side of Chicago. More moderate than I am, actually liberal on social issues. He got defeated, and it was just, it's nothing that he didn't do. It was just those type of elections that sometimes you can't swim against.
So how would you describe, at least in broad outline, because who knows what tomorrow brings, but the legislative priorities with the GOP controlling all three branches, well, the White House and the two legislative branches?
Yeah, that's a great question. We just got a memo from the Trump team on his 100-day action plan. So I think we're probably going to go through that and see what he would like to do and how we can help him, accomplish some of his goals and objectives. Because I think people are going to look at that and say it's a pretty big mandate, and so he does have an opportunity. We also have been working over the last year on our Better Way agenda, preparing to use this if we were successful in the presidential race or if we weren't. I mean, Speaker Ryan has said we need to be a proposition party, not an opposition party. People can go to better.gop and look at the agenda, and it deals with stuff from returning constitutional principles to strengthening our military, repealing and replacing Obamacare. That's going to be a big one right there. Tax reform, and there's probably two more, but they're pretty precise with agenda of items of how we're going to try to achieve this. And that really gets us a formula to start with, so we're pretty excited about it.
Do you anticipate any leadership changes in the House?
No, I don't think so. I think Speaker Ryan was the reluctant warrior and drafted, and then some of my colleagues beat him up when he didn't really. I think now he's grown into the job. He's an articulate spokesperson, well-liked, policy-minded, and worked really, really hard. Of course, he's strong on the issues that the social and moral issues that we think also we need a leadership voice in the nation on. So I don't think so, and we'll just keep the same team and move forward.
Talk about our home state, if you would, a little bit of Republican losses in Illinois, the loss of a Senate seat yesterday. What does that mean?
It means that we lost a moderate Republican who Mark served well. He's a friend, but his really catastrophic stroke really made it difficult for him to campaign, and he wasn't as sharp and as he was in the past. Having said that, had that caused us to lose a majority in the Senate, I'd be devastated. We held on to the majority. And now, it gives us an opportunity to look for the next cycle to try to recruit someone good to have another bite at the apple and get another U.S. senator. But it's not as catastrophic as it would have been had we lost the majority in the Senate.
Well, probably the smallest story of last night's election was how easily Illinois went blue. And it seems like it always does. It just seems to be one of those perennial, cannot lose for the Democrat blue state when it comes to presidential politics. Is there any path forward for Illinois reddening a bit?
Yeah, I think people were pretty shocked at the amount of money for state races by both Republicans and Democrats. I mean, we've got a moderate Republican governor, right? So we've got a Republican governor who is trying to at least build enough support in the House and the Senate to at least be able to negotiate, because Illinois is a great state, good workforce, educated workforce, great transportation systems, rail, interstate, and rivers. We also have great natural resources in our agricultural land and coal and natural gas and crude oil. We should be a powerhouse, and we're not because of Springfield is kind of being bankrupt. So the battle has been fought. I think we picked up 4 state House seats. We've picked up 2 state Senate seats. It broke the ability of the Democrats to have a veto-proof majority. And we're just kind of hoping that that's how we start clawing our way back. But people have to remember, in Illinois, there's 102 counties. You for a Republican to win, you have to get like 23% of vote in Cook County. So you could win 101 counties and get 20% of Cook and still lose a statewide race.
On the broader national scale, if U.S. voters don't see dramatic changes in the next 2 years, you talked earlier about a really kind of a change of pace in Trump here from a status quo. If they don't see dramatic changes in the next 2 years, what can the GOP expect?
Well, you guys follow the moral and ethical issues as much as anyone, and a lot of evangelicals and Christian conservatives were struggling because of Trump's statement. So, but what he did early, took good advice from someone, put out a list of 11, I think he expanded to 20, either strict constructionists or possible justices to be appointed to the Supreme Court. I think that resonates with conservatives, and he'll be able to start putting the name up to fill the open vacancy once he gets sworn in. So if that's a big part of your agenda, that's a big deal. So we have a national debt. We'll have raising the debt limit we'll have to do. We've got infrastructure. We've got chaos in the world. There's enough on our plate. But I think for what we have to do as Republicans, I don't think people are going to give us much of a chance. I mean, we have the House, but we couldn't do it. We didn't have the Senate. Then we got the Senate. We couldn't do it because we had a president. Now we got the presidency. So we have to govern with conservative ideology and try to really continue to make the case that, free market capitalism, competition, religious freedom is what is in best interest of our whole society, and that we need to move on that agenda.
Congressman John Shimkus serves the Illinois 15th Congressional District. John, thank you very much, and keep up the good work.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
In hour 2 of Issues Etc., Terry Mattingly is going to join us. We'll talk about media coverage of religious themes in Tuesday's election results. Does the media show a sign of learning anything from this? They had it wrong. A lot of people had it wrong. And do they know why then? It's Open Lines. What's your reaction to the election results? What are your legislative priorities for the next 4 years? Pastor Matt Harrison, president of the Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, will round off today's program. We'll talk about religious conservatism and Tuesday's election results. I'm Todd Wilkin. Hour 2 of Issues Etc. in 5 minutes.
We love our on-demand listeners. You're listening to Issues Etc.
In a world awash with all sorts of information, opinions, and ideas, there is still a place where God's Word is the central and only focus. Messiah Lutheran Church, 801 North Madison, Lebanon, Illinois. At 9 o'clock on Sunday mornings, God's people gather there to listen to Him. There you will find His words of law and gospel, and of course, our Lord's Holy Supper. Bible classes focus on the Bible and the Lutheran confessions. Come, listen, believe, and live, and check out our website at messiahlebanon.org.
When a Christian woman is critical of her own flesh, she holds her Creator in contempt.
Rose Adel from her new book, Ladylike, Living Biblically.
Our Heavenly Father knit us together in the womb. He did not do a bad job. We are fearfully and wonderfully made. Psalm 139:14. That goes for everyone, including the one who thinks she's the ugliest of them all.
You can purchase and download Concordia Publishing House's new audiobook, Ladylike, Living Biblically, at Amazon, Audible, and iTunes.